לקנות ודאי שהאהבה הזאת צריך שלא תהיה אהבה כולה בדבר.
So we're speaking about a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We spoke last week about how a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu is something which is not an external love which you don't feel in your inner world. Rather it comes to such a passion that that's what you're thinking of the whole time. So we said, Mashallah Mahadavadome, when someone's engaged, so even though they are thinking of other things and their life is continuing and they're even productive in many other areas, but in their mind the whole time, it's the state that they're in. It's affecting everything, it's affecting who they are and what they do. But they won't decide suddenly now to like take a trip overseas because they're engaged. And they won't suddenly go and buy things if they're big and expensive, because how's that going to fit into the fact that we're getting married to? And what they're learning now will be affected by, wait, I need to make sure I know practical halacha, but I'm getting married. The whole way of life, maybe even in their personal things, like making sure they get up on time, because if they're feeling married and I need to take more responsibility and I want to be in the family, already going in with the sense that I'm self-disciplined. And everything they're doing, not only in respect to their future wife, but even in respect to themselves, is in the context of, I'm in a state of getting married. It's not that like once a day, they say, okay, almost so Krishna, I have to remember that I'm engaged. they're being engaged in something which is all encompassing. So love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for at an initial stage is, oh, so Krishna, I've got to Hashem Elokecha. Do you remember? But the goal we're working towards in the level of Chassidus is the level where the awareness that you're with Hashem is so encompassing. Whatever you're doing, even if you're doing non-Hashem things, but the fact that you're close to Hashem and the fact that you're in a love relationship with Hashem, that impacts everything else that you do. Like you wouldn't go and do something which is against the will of Hashem because you're in a relationship, you're in a love relationship. And this love is a love which is not dependent on anything else. Shiohavet aboreid barach al shemeitiv elav umashiro umatzliach oto. אלא כאהבת הבן לאביו, שאהבה טבעית ממש, שטבעו מכריחו וכופהו לזה. Very interesting this point. If a father and a son have a good relationship, and you ask the son, why do you love your father? So he won't say, because he buys me kids. But if you would ask him, when do you see your father's love expressed to you? He may say when he buys me things. Then you ask him, oh, so you know he loves you because he buys you things? He says, no. No. That's just when it's expressed, but the love is there all the time. It's interesting. There's a love that goes beyond action. I'll give a nice parable for this. Says in Rashi, 2 weeks ago's Parsha, that Lot gave the angels matzah. Rashi said it was Pesach. Pesach hadn't happened yet. How are they eating matzah? Says in Yitzchak, has two animals prepared for him by Esau. Why? The Pesach. What's he going to do with Pesach? Pesach hadn't happened yet. Pesach is where Hashem came into the world and saved the Jewish people. It hadn't happened yet. What's the idea of celebrating Pesach if it hasn't happened? You see from there an amazing concept. And Hashem has channels in how he relates to the world. Pesach is a channel, in a broad sense we'll call it Zman Cheruseinu. That channel existed at that time, even before Pesach came. Just when Pesach came, that was the biggest ever expression that we had of it. So since that's the time in the year when Hashem revealed to the world the expression of his giving Cherus, so then they were in tune with that before. We saw it expressed in the year 2448. And it continues that all time. So we celebrate Pesach today, not because Hashem took the Jews out of Egypt, because that's a time of Hashem revealing himself as a king of Jews Chayrus. And how do you know that? Well, we saw it expressed very well in the biggest ever example on one year when he took us out of Egypt. It's not only about that. It's not some historical remembrance service. Right now there's an expression of the Torah, giving Chayrus to the world, giving Torah to the world, giving Ashkel HaProtis to the world, renewing the world. Each Chag has its own channel. And we saw it expressed at a certain time, but not that good, just because of that time. So the love for Hashem is similar to that. Our love for Hashem is an emotion, is a feeling, which is not dependent on anything happening. Something which exists the whole time when you tap into it. Hashem loves you, that's all that is. Ahav Kitchem Amar Hashem, which is after it. Ahav Kitchem Amar Hashem. Ahavat Olam Ha'afiha. Hashem always loved us. If we're sensitive to that and we attune ourselves to that, we'll pay attention to it. It's always there. So what's the idea of Ashkel HaProtis for it? We should not do Ashkel HaProtis for it. What do you say? Hashem loves me, how can I so hear that he loves me? Why are you limiting us to this world? It's a very specific thing. Oh, you love Hashem because he made you get the bus on time? That's what it is. Is that what you're limiting us to this world to? You made the bus on time because Hashem. That's just what you said, express. There the whole time. You can tune into the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all times. Just you see it expressed in the world at certain times. Pesach is every year that time. One year we saw it expressed. So one should not develop their love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu just because he made them rich or just because he made them successful. Rather, like a son who loves his father, it's just natural. That's just his nature, that he feels the love with. Not everyone does. Sometimes the father hates. Relates to the son, but in a natural way. Still, the son will feel it more on Friday night when his father's giving him a bracha. You'll feel it more when the father buys him a gift that he knows he wants. You'll feel it more there. That doesn't mean that because of that, that wouldn't happen, that would be there. Still feel the love in his face. But you still know there's a deep love there with you. As the Pasuk says, Halo hu avicha konecha. Surely he is your father. Secondly, he requires first comes in your father. That's the reason. Not because of any other reason. Umifchana ava azotu bizman adochat vasara. I was just thinking of that with Shabbat. In Mesechet Tanis, it says that when the time of Tzar, like there's no rain, and they bring someone to govern from the Amun, and who do they bring? What's the criteria? So one of the criteria is someone who is has a lot of children, his house is empty. So the portion like then one of them has is empty. Who you talk. So why just for that person? I would think someone turns up on this world or someone who felt the love of Hashem and he's seen Ashkel HaProtis in his life and he feels the goodness of Hashem tonight. He's in a good relationship that he can turn to Hashem. Why just go through home for no money? Because he feels the pain much more. He will call out to Hashem from a deeper place. I would like to say that you can equally serve Hashem in a place of bounty and a place of challenge. Mm-hmm. And in theory you could. In theory through Hakaras HaTov, you could recognize the goodness of what Hashem has done for you and come to the same level of appreciation and closeness to Hashem. But on the ground, the Maisa, it is much, much easier to turn to Hashem and relate to Hashem. On place of staff. Because it pains you more, like we spoke about last night, those were there. Now, if you think of a good example, something good happened in your life, and you feel a level of emotion, but how much do you feel it? 7, 8 out of 10. When you're irritated and frustrated, you feel it 10 out of 10. If there's negative emotions, ride much higher, stronger, more powerful. So that same idea from the Tanya, that's who we get to daven, because he is more real to him, his connection with Hashem is more developed. Says over here as well, the time where the love is expressed, doesn't mean you don't feel love the whole time. The way it's expressed is in a time of dohak and salah. Literally when it's hard. It's not a big ideal. It's not a big, it's not challenging. It's not hard to express love to someone when you're feeling love to them anyway. That's not a sign that you have a good relationship, that everything's going well. Because why not? So what? Where you want to see a sign your relationship is strong is where there's a fight, where there's friction, and how you deal with that. If you're not able to handle that, then the relationship is not as strong as you thought. If even in times there's negative emotions riding, then you're able to hold strong. Then you know that the relationship is extremely strong. It's not able to work with. So to our love for Hashem, it's not a big deal for a person to say he loves Hashem when everything is. It's an amazing story about the Chazon Ish. It's alluded to in the book, Emunah V'Bitachon, that he wrote. But it's a story behind it. I love this story. I remember the names involved. There was a Jew who came over from Europe and moved to Bnei Brak, and he founded a printing press in Bnei Brak. In those days, Bnei Brak was five or ten of the other. So one printing press, certainly two printing presses. And when another Jew came over from wherever he came, and he wanted to open a printing press, he wasn't as skilled as the first one. Now, that first one could have halachically said to him, there's not enough business to build for us in this town. Go found your business somewhere else. Not here. Because he mugged it on him. Not only did he not mug it on him, he helped him learn how to use his machinery. The more experienced, current one, helped the young one, the novice, get into the business. And the chazit was blown away. And he wrote the book, Emunah V'Bitachon. Emunah and Bitachon are two different things. One is the theory, and you learn all about Emunah, and you speak about your love for Hashem, and you, when everything is going smooth and well, you can speak of many different Torahs. There's another one where, on the ground, someone has come and says, "Oh, you're from this is happening now. Where are all those lofty words? Where are all your words of faith in Hashem? Where is it, how much you love Hashem, what he's doing for you? If it's expressed in Bitachon, it shows everything is real. If it was not expressed in Bitachon, it shows you understand the theory, but it's not real. You understand the theory, you haven't learned how to bring it down. You haven't learned how to make it a real part of your life. The Chabad is amazed by this person. And he wrote that story without all the details, he wrote that story in his book, and in Bitachon. So that's Bitachon. But it's not just that you have the theory behind it. So too, the love of Hashem, very easy a person who's only seen goodness in their life. They speak about how much they love Hashem, how much good he's done for them, and it's true, but it's not tested. It's not that it's not true, it's true, but it's theoretical. How will you know if you know how to bring that into your inner world? Is where things don't go easy and don't go smoothly. And then you're still able to say, Hashem, I served you in this world, everything is smooth. Hashem will equally serve you when things are hard, because my goal is to serve you, it's not to have a comfortable life. If Hashem, I can certainly have a comfortable life, I'm not complaining. But Hashem, it's not my criteria. Not if I'm comfortable, I serve you, if not, no. That's what the Pasuk says, V'asad Hashem Elokecha. There's no period there. Rather, it continues, Kol Vavacha V'chol Nafshecha. What's the criteria of proving that your love for Hashem is authentic? You don't have to give your life today. If a scenario would come where there's a choice in your life and Hashem, the love of Hashem is so deep that you stand for the test of giving up your life for Hashem. And what does the Chol Ma'odecha mean? Chol Ma'monecha. The difference between them is the Asir and the Glotas. A mitzvah aser, you don't have to get all your money for it. You only have to pay a third of more than the normal value. That's enough. But who done? If for a low taser, you can all your money away. If someone says to you, do an aser, which is a low taser, or you can buy your way out, no cost of a third day, then you go and bring an avera, then you bring everything away, a common money. Many years ago, someone came to my house for Shabbos meal, and they were discussing how in their business, they have to speak Russian home. And I said, I don't know if the Jews are allowed to be in a business where you have to speak Russian home. They said to me, look, Rabbi, all very nice that you learn Chofetz Chaim when you're in yeshiva. So there, what are you being tested in? What the guy wants to talk about his roommate. But here, Parnas is on the line. I don't speak Russian Hara. I can't support my family. I said, I'm not sure, but I think that the laws of Chofetz Chaim apply outside of yeshiva as well. And to my knowledge, ask your rabbi, but to my knowledge, you have to rather change jobs than remain in a job where you're forced to transgress halacha. He said, this is my job. I said, well, the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu is providing for you this way. If you're following his rule, he'll provide another way. I can't guarantee it'll be straight away. Maybe it'll take a while, I don't know. But that's your religious obligation. You're not allowed to enter a job where you're never breaking halacha. You have to break halacha, you can't be there. His conclusion was that the Torah is not realistic. So I was sad about that. But it's like to do things to a place where he says, that's amazing. I'm going to look for a new job where I don't have to break halacha. The Torah's perspective, your way of expressing your love for Hashem is, not when it's all easy and smooth. You're working as a sofa in a room full of tough sofa thumbs. All that you do is have Kol HaLashon Shurim playing in the background while you're writing your mezuzahs every day. Easy. Very easy. But you're put to a test where you have to maybe lose a lot of money. Can I ever tell the story of Rav Greenberg? An unbelievable story. I wouldn't have heard this story. It would have been hard to believe. Rav Greenberg told us once, Terech Agam, by the way, that he once bought a house to rent out. And to do with the mortgage, you have to sign and say that you live there. Because they only give certain rates for people who are buying a home, but they're not bringing people into business. So he goes to a bank, and they say, okay, sign here. But I haven't read it. So, yeah, you don't need to read it, it's a standard form. But I have to read it. You're not allowed to sign something, you don't know what there is. Okay, there's a check, let's sit down. Start reading. As he's reading, you see, I certify that I will be living in houses not for business. He goes back and says, I can't find it, it is for business. I'm not trying to live there, I'm just doing it to rent out. He says, so don't make a big deal of it. No one reads it, everyone finds it, standard. He said, it's lying. It's not true. They go, yeah, but like no one follows up and no one checks up. It's like everyone does it. Everyone knows it and does it. He says, if everyone knows it and does it, who's the board who writes this? Could we phone them and ask them if I'm allowed to cross that out and write on the side, I will be using it for business. They said, no, they won't let you do that. Because that's the law. But like no one cares about it. He said, but if it's the law, then it's lying. They said to him, but if you don't sign that, you're going to have to pay an extra large percentage. It's going to cost you extra tens of thousands of shekels. I don't know. Lots of money. He said, that's true. Said, if you want to, he didn't sign it. And he lost 70,000 shekels. I don't know how much. Lost a lot of money. That's Yashuk. I'm doing the will of Hashem. The Torah says in the Vashuk, I said, if I'm allowed to save money, you know, if I have a good tax accountant, within the law can list things under different names, and it's all legal. Just put it under my kid's name, and it's under my business name, it's all legal, and it's made out there. Fine, very good, I'm not trying to pay too much. If I'm breaking the law against the will of Hashem, the same Hashem provides for me in a cheating way, He'll provide for me if I'm following His halacha. It's not going to make me lose out because I broke halacha, because I kept halacha. He's going to say, you're a good man. If you keep him on halacha, I won't make you lose out because of that. That's how I'm moving. That's how I'm becoming. The love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not where it's anywhere he's doing anything. Love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is where you're put to test. So all the theory that you anyway know, you're able to act on and practice, and it's real for you. As I said, next time, He's going to give us two mindsets that will enable us to, when we're put to test, have concepts in our mind that can hold strong. Because when a person is put to test, a lot of the theory goes out the window. And you just see dollar bills in front of your eyes and all this money I'm starting to lose, or your profession is going to lose, or some pleasure you're going to lose out on. You say, ah, maybe there's some hitter here. Maybe this is God. So you need very clear, concrete anchors to hold on. That's the next piece that goes on to you. In order for a person to be successful in a time of challenge to still stay in his Afra Hashem, there's two minds that are hold strong.